ask me if I would fill this pulpit here today. I guess you might call me the interlude. I'm what you get when they run out of preachers. And next week, you'll have a real preacher to be here to lead you, and I'm sure you're both excited and anxious about that, which is the normal way to do it. So I want to talk to you about that today. And the scripture for it is in Romans 8. Romans 8, beginning with verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And now here's the text. I'm going to repeat it several times in the message. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Lord, take these moments. And if you want me to deliver this message, then give me the strength and the ability to do it. We trust You and pray that we will hear in our hearts what You may have to say to us, whether it comes in the message or the Scripture or simply by Your Spirit speaking to our hearts. In the name of Christ. Amen. I think life is pretty much consisting of moving from one transition to another. It started when we were born, which was probably one of the most traumatic transitions we ever experienced, when we moved from the warmth and the comfort of our mother's womb into a world that wasn't quite so accommodating or comfortable to us. A great transition. And then we moved from being a baby to where we could crawl. And then from childhood, we went into adolescence. And from adolescence into adulthood. And from adulthood, for some of us, to growing old. And ultimately, we will move from the immortal to the immortal life. Now, there have been a lot of other transitional events that have been between for all of us. And with every transition, there have been both some wows and some woes. So I want to talk to you this morning about the wows and woes of transitions. For example, when we were born, that was a big wow. Our families were excited about this new bundle of joy that was coming into their lives. But then there followed the woes of diaper changes. Now, I don't know, back in when our children were born, we were still using the diapers you washed and reused. What a yucky mess. You know, parents today don't know what they're missing by not having to go through those diapers. And then we experienced great joy at the wow of crawling, when the baby started crawling, until we discovered that there were woes with that also, like now they can get into stuff they never could get into before. So now we have to be doubly careful. And then they move from being a child to a teenager, which I think's one of the most exciting times in all of life, to be a teenager. But it also comes with the woes of pimples and raging emotions. And then finally that day that the dad has to say to his daughter, What do you mean you want to date that guy? Don't you know there's nobody, no boy on this earth that's good enough for my daughter? Or when the son comes in and says, hey, Dad, guess what? I'm old enough to get my license. Oh, no, I've dreaded this day. But nevertheless, it's a part of growing up. And eventually, folks move from adolescence to adulthood. And there are lots of joys in that. But then you also have the woes of bills to pay. Sometimes jobs you don't particularly care for. Many responsibilities that are heaped on us. And on it goes. Transitions throughout all of life. But in all of them, remember this. Remember that in all these things, God is at work to bring about the best for those who love Him. You'll have to excuse me today. I don't know what this goop is, but it doesn't want to let go. Now we have another transition to deal with. This church finds itself in a time of transition. As one pastor moves on, and another pastor comes. And every pastoral move that ever happens comes both with some wows and some woes in those transitions. For example, you have experienced lots of wows of love and appreciation and accomplishments upon which now you can reflect. 10 wonderful years of ministry with Brian and Susan. Now, by the way, I get some credit for that. Because when Brian came here 10 years ago, I happened to be the district superintendent of the Wesleyan District. So I had a strong hand in bringing Brian to this church as his district superintendent. Sometimes DSs get things right. That was one of those times. So we thank God for that. You have expressed much appreciation and pride for your music program, for the pastoral programs, for the pastoral ministries. And now, the excitement of the building program, when one day, and what we hope is a not too distant future, you will see springing up over there in that hole a brand new place of worship. That's exciting. That's a wow. I've been through building programs. And I know they're exciting. I know sometimes they also come with their woes and their frustrations. But ultimately, it's a wow. All my ministry, I wanted a church with a gymnasium. My whole ministry. Finally, after many years of ministry at Princeton, we built a gymnasium. And then I got moved. Never got to play a game in it. But it's there. That's been a wonderful facility that folks have greatly enjoyed. So we've had a lot of wows over the last 10 years. But now there's also some woes. A bit sad. It's okay. It's human. It should be. Heavens to Betsy, if I'd been someplace 10 years and I left and nobody was sad about it, I'd feel like I'd been a total disappointment. It's okay. It's okay to have some sadness and also some apprehension. Apprehension about what the new pastor is going to be like. Apprehension about what the music program is going to be like. Apprehension about how things are going to go. Well, need to remember in all of these things, God is working for the good of those who love Him. So our job is to love God. To love God and remember that God will be working in everything if, in fact, we keep our love for Him sealed. I know that there's a sense of loneliness that comes with pastoral transitions. I've experienced that. Brian and Mark are going to be a bit lonely for a while because they've left a lot of friends. Now they come to serve folks they don't even know. But soon they will. And it's only a temporary kind of loneliness. But I can tell you that anybody who's apprehensive about this pastoral change, the pastors are apprehensive too. And sometimes we get nervous about it as to how we handle it. Let me tell you about one of those times. After 17 years of ministry in Canova, I don't know how I stayed there 17 years. Somebody told me that one time that church didn't really want a pastor, and I was nearest to nothing they'd found, so they let me stay for 17 years. But when I moved, we went to Princeton, and Marianne and I went over to meet with the PPR committee. You know, you fearful group that you are, on the PPR committee. And we stopped out at Shoney's to eat before we went in to meet with the committee. Well, while we were there, I walked into the restroom, and I walked in, and I thought, man, this is unusual. There's no urinal in this place. That's kind of unusual for a men's restroom in it. Well, I stayed in there a little bit, and nobody was there, fortunately. And when I came out and looked at the sign on the door, you know what I'd done. I'd walked into the women's restroom. I hadn't even looked at the door. I was used always to, you know, the men are on the right, the women are on the left in these public places. But this place, they had reversed it. And so there I was. But nobody came in, fortunately. Nobody saw me go in. Nobody saw me leave, at least that I ever knew of. But it was because I was uptight, really not thinking about what I was doing because I was in this time of transition. Well, it happens. And many people do not want to let go of their present pastor. That's okay. That's really a good thing. But I tell you what good advice for pastors is, and it is this. Always move before you have to. If a pastor stays in a church until the church wants them to go, they've stayed too long. I've seen it happen. And I've seen churches really, really decline because a pastor decided they would stay when the church did not want them to. So it's a healthy situation that these transitions are taking place, both for Brian and for Mark, while folks still would have liked to have had them around. Now, even though there's some sadness, woes we might call them, in the transition of pastors, church folks need to remember that in order to experience the joyfulness of togetherness, you have to be willing to experience the sadness of separation. We need to know that. Some people are fearful of getting married because they know one day it'll end. It will not always be together. And some folks shy away from marriage because of that. And because of their fear of separation, they miss all of the blessings of togetherness that they could have experienced. And churches are a lot like that. There come times when there are separations and folks go on. But we'd never been able to experience all the joys that came in between if we were not willing to also experience the pain that comes from separation. And you have some things. Excuse me. You have some things that has brought you great joy. The great music ministry that you have had. Now, you can tell I'm very sorry. It's always something new. I don't think I've ever had to do that in my whole ministry. But those of you who were present at the musical performance a few nights back, well, it was great. Wasn't it great? You did numbers from all of those cantatas that you'd done over the years. This place should have been packed out with standing room only. But it was a remembrance of those high moments that you had experienced. And you celebrated those, and it is good. And you've had challenging sermons. You've had faithful pastoral ministry. There's been laughter and tears and friendships. And in fact, you have many things to celebrate, and that is good. But one of the things that pastors soon realize wherever they go, no matter where it is, they soon realize that when they get there, they're going to be dealing with the most committed, the greatest people in that community because they're in the church. It doesn't matter where in the world you go. You know when you come in as a pastor that you have there in your support base the finest people that there are in that community. And it's always reassuring to pastors, and it's comforting to know that that happens likewise here in this church as in all churches. And remember, through all of this, through the joys and through the separation, that God is working to bring about the best for those who love Him. Now, I want to talk to you about some things that pastoral transitions teach us. One thing pastoral transitions teach us about to whom we are really committed shows our true colors. There's three levels of commitment when it comes to pastoral appointments. One is a commitment to the pastor. Now, folks need for people to be committed to the pastor's ministry. But commitment simply to a person, which says, well, you know, I'll only go if he's there. You know, we know a lot of times when, what do we say, when the pastor is not there, when the cat's away, the mouse will play. We know when the pastor is not there, there's some folks who say, well, pastor's not going to preach today, so I don't think I'll go. And all. And then some will say, well, if the pastor goes, I go too. Well, there needs to be a level of commitment, but that is the lowest level of commitment to any person. Then there's the commitment to the church. And the church needs our commitment to be faithful to the church come what might. To be faithful. But there's a higher commitment. Michelle and Katie sang about that. It is a commitment to Christ. The highest commitment. And oftentimes, pastoral transitions will show us, well, where really is my commitment? Is it simply a loyalty to a person? Or is it just because I'm part of this church? Or is there a higher commitment that keeps me going? And that is my commitment to Christ. Pastoral changes also teach us that pastors are neither perfect nor indispensable. Now, sometimes, in order to try to create a better mood in churches, when I was district superintendent, because usually when you got called out to a church, it was because they were not in a very good mood. So I would joke with them, and when they were wanting pastoral change, they were looking for the perfect pastor. And, of course, a perfect pastor is somebody who's 30 years old, with 20 years experience, 2.5 kids, who will visit 40 hours a week, but always be in his study anytime that you might call him, so you can always find him when you call. So I said to them, I said, you know, we don't really have any perfect pastors anymore. Said, well, actually, we did have one. We had one perfect pastor. But then they made him a district superintendent. Now we don't have any. Well, sometimes they understood it as a joke. Sometimes I think they didn't, maybe. And then I remember one time, I don't know why I did this, hadn't planned on it. But after we retired, I served 3-point charge for 5 years over at Flemington. And I just remember saying to the church one day, I got off on this thing of perfection somehow. I don't even know how. But I got, and finally I said, you know, the only perfect preacher or perfect person that I have ever known in my life was my wife's first husband. And they sort of sat there and looked at me. And finally they caught what I was talking about. And I don't know if Marianne appreciated it because, you know, she's put up with this stuff for 55 years. But there are no perfect folks out there. Even though one time I remember in a church I had, we had this beautiful little blonde-headed girl. She was a gem. And she went home one day, and she told her mom about something that God had told her when she talked with God. And mother said, "What's this God told you?" And she told her. And when did God tell? Well, just recently. How did God tell you this? How did you saw God? Yeah, Mom, I saw God. How did you see God? She said, "You know, Mom, he's big and tall, and he stands up in front of us kids at church and teaches us things." And this mother was also a neighbor of ours, and she said to me, "said I tell you, I straightened that kid out in no time flat about who God is and who God is not." But there are no perfect preachers out there, folks. The one you had, the one you're getting, they're just not there. Pastors are human, like all persons are, but they are human persons that God has called into ministry. And when there is a transitional move, it teaches the pastor something too, because it teaches that pastor whether that call is genuine or whether that call is very frail and fragile, whether they were called to ministry to follow God wherever, or where they cannot break the loyalty to a certain area or church. But remember, in all these things and in all these persons, God is at work to bring about the best for those who love Him. Pastoral changes also give us the opportunity to show hospitality and acceptance to incoming pastoral families. Glad to see you have a reception for your new pastor next week. Hospitality can take some strange turns. I guess I shouldn't identify the pastor or the church. It was not in this district. But some years ago, on the very first day that a pastor went to his new church, he had a wife and two kids. And whenever somebody new comes into the church, you're always a little concerned about whether you're taking somebody's seat, you know. So, pastor's wife and with her two children, thought that the front row would be safe. That's normally pretty safe. So she came out and sat down. Of course, nobody knew her yet. And lo and behold, somebody came along and saw the pastor's wife sitting there, not knowing who it was, and said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to move. You took our seat." Which did not get them off to a really good start in that church. Brian gave you some great advice during his last service last week when he said, "Give Mark a chance. Just give Mark a chance." And that applies not only to the pastor, but also to the pastor's family. Some of you may be apprehensive about what the new pastor's like. You have the same apprehensions about what you are like. For as pastors have distinct personalities, so do churches. This church has a very distinct personality. You work a lot with Temple, But the personalities of these two churches is very different, even here, almost side by side. I hope you will never, ever compare one pastor with another, or to compare a pastor's spouse with another spouse, because it's very unfair. All pastors are different in their personalities, in their gifts, in their approaches to ministry. But God has chosen to use each of us with our own personalities, with the gifts with which He has endowed us. The New Testament church took the right approach. When they had a great transition that took place, you remember Jesus was with them, and then suddenly He was not with them in the ascension. And there they were without Him. Their example is one that's good for us to follow. How'd they handle that? We find this in Acts 2. They stayed together. There were no defectors. Now they lost Judas Iscariot, who hung himself. But there were no defectors. They studied the teaching of the apostles. They turned to the Word of God. They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old. And they had the apostles' teaching. They prayed. They continued in fellowship. They shared meals in their homes. They took care of each other's needs. They went to the church every day, which was the temple. And what was the result? The Lord added to their number daily. Daily. Why? Because in all things, God was working for the good, those who love Him. Now, like everyone, I've had a lot of transitions in my life. Most of them have been wow transitions, quite frankly. But one of the toughest I experienced was when I was 18 years old. I just graduated from high school. Had sensed a call to the ministry at 15. And was about to head off late at night for a 400-mile, 13-hour journey over country roads to Wilmore, Kentucky, where Asbury College was located, to begin my training for the ministry. We were in a church service. Now, strangely enough, when I grew up as a kid, my local church thought I could sing. I sang in a quartet at that time. We called it the Four Flats. But we didn't have a PA system and a bus, so we didn't get very far. If we could have just come up with a PA system and a bus, you know, no telling how far we would have gone. Not really. But I remember that night before I left, I sang that song that's in your bullet. I don't know if you know it or not. I'm not going to sing it. Each step I take. Does anybody perchance know that song? Good. Want to sing it? Yeah. All right. But the words to it and the message of it have always stayed with me. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me. And with His loving hand, He leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He'll guide me to higher ground He ever leads me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. And folks, you know what? For many years, that's proven true for me. And it will be proven true for Brian, and for Mark, and for Duff Street, and for First Church over there at Elkins, and for St. Paul's United Methodist Church in Nitro, and for all other persons and churches who love God and seek to serve Him. There will be some wows and there will be some woes, but there will be success and there will be ministry, and the ministry will lead to victory in those lives and those churches. Why? Because in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him. And guess what? That includes us too. And in this transition, God's working for our good, not our downfall. God is working for Brian's good. God is working for Mark's good. Because we love God. And He will be working with us. God bless you as you continue your journey and welcome your new pastor. We're going to